Amen. Take your Bibles to the book of Colossians tonight. Book of Colossians, and chapter number 2 is where we'll be this evening. They can use eagles, but I think we're going to go ahead and use the Word of God. So, verse number 16, let's read there. The Bible says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." My message tonight is entitled, "Settling for Shadows." Let's pray. Now, Lord, I do pray you would bless tonight. I do pray you would work in people's hearts as your word is preached. I do pray you would bless the message, Lord, and your word would be glorified and lifted up, and Christ would be exalted. I do pray you'd move among us tonight, Lord. Help me to speak what you have me to speak and what I've studied, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We've all heard of someone who is so frightened of something or so frightened of anything that they're said to be scared of their shadow, right? And we laugh at that because why? Because shadows, there's nothing to them. You know, a shadow can't jump up and punch you. A shadow can't take your toys away. A shadow cannot harm you. And we laugh at that, but the truth is there's nothing to a shadow. There's no substance there. It's kind of like, if you knew you were going to have a steak dinner at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night, and you were going to go out with your wife or whoever, and you were going to have a big steak dinner, and 5 o'clock you went out and you ate all the candy you could, and you're full. Come 6 o'clock, yeah, I don't want any steak, but there was no substance to that candy, and really you were settling for so much less than what you could have had. You were settling for less than the best, and that's what I want to talk tonight about: is shadows. About how shadows, there's nothing to them, and you're really settling for less than the best. Settling for shadows. Let's look, first of all, at some examples in the Bible where religious leaders settled for shadows. There's three areas, main areas that I see here. First of all is the law. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:19 that the law made nothing perfect. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:1 here that the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never make the comers thereunto perfect, right? These leaders in the time of Christ, they had so distorted and taken this law and just changed it from what it was meant to be. And they were focused on the letter, and they added tradition in these things. And even when Jesus was on earth, they criticized him, Jesus Christ himself, for not washing his hands. Let me grab a handheld here. Number four. We good? All right, we're good. They criticized Jesus Christ himself for not washing his hands. They criticized him for picking grain on the Sabbath and even healing on the Sabbath. Now, this is the Son of God himself. And they criticized him because they had so taken the law and twisted it and added things to it, and they had settled for the shadows here. We know that the purpose of the law, found in Romans 3:20, is to point out our sin, right? Is to point out that we're all sinners. And that was the purpose of the law, but they had so missed that. The sacrifices, Hebrews 10:3-4. "But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." They had settled for these, and they had become comfortable in them, and they were settling for these sacrifices. The priests, "And every priest, Hebrews 10:11, standeth daily ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." They really settled for these three things here. But now let's look at number two, the substance or fulfillment of those shadows. Can I say that the answer to the shadows in the Old Testament is the Christ of the New Testament? He's the fulfillment of those shadows. He's the body or the substance of these shadows. As we saw in Colossians 2:17, the body is of Christ. These other things were just types or pictures of him and his work on earth. Can I say, first of all, not the law, but Christ is our justifier and our better hope. Hebrews 7:19, "The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." Galatians 2:16 speaks of Christ being our justifier. These religious leaders had settled for the law and put their trust and hope in the law. And then when Jesus came, they had settled for that and they totally missed Jesus.
Can I say Christ is the provider of true righteousness? And even today, there are some who settle for the works of the law. There are some who try to work their way to God and who think they can add baptism or try to be baptized or good works or come to First Baptist Church and all these things. And friend, there never has been and there never will be one thing you can do to earn your way to God. That's settling for shadows, settling for the works of the law. Can I say it's only through Christ? It's only through Christ. The sacrifices, the priests, the Pharisees and things, they had settled for those, but Christ is our Savior from sin and death. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Friend, Christ is our Savior from sin and death. Not the sacrifices, not the things we can do, but Christ. Can I say thirdly here that the religious leaders had settled for the priests. Can I say Christ is our mediator and the great high priest who offered himself and his blood for us? For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hebrews 10:12, verse 11 talks about the priest. Verse 12, but this one man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I would like to make a note here. I've mentioned it several times. The religious leaders had settled for these things. They settled for these shadows. And that when they were so caught up in them and they had just became comfortable in them, that when Jesus came and did his work on earth, they totally missed him because they had gotten so caught up and settled for these things. And I wonder here what ways we settle for shadows in our life. Brother Luke actually stomped all over my message, so thank you for that. But I wonder what ways we settle for shadows in our lives. That's our third point, actually. Ways that we settle for shadows. I want to remind you that settling for shadows is just settling for less than God's best. Settling for less than what God really wants for you and really has for you. First of all, using the example of the law, like I said, people still today try to work themselves to God. They try to work themselves to God. The religious leaders did. They had come and they had made the law, and the Old Testament worship system which God had prescribed was not the same worship system in the time of Christ. And we understand it's not that today because it was works-based. It was, I can earn my way to God. I can do it. I can do it myself. And so many people today try to earn their way to God. Can I say again, friend, it's only through Christ. You can't earn your way to God. There's nothing you can do to get you one step closer to Christ. It's only faith in him. I would like to say we as Christians settle for shadows when we try to do things on our own without God. Salvation, we can't work to God, but what about life? What about life when we go through the motions, when we don't acknowledge God and we think we can live life without God and we just go about our life every day. We go to work and we don't think about God. We don't think about how we can share him. And our life is the same day after day after day. We try to live life on our own without God. Friend, you're settling for something less than what God has for you. Keeping God out of your life, there's so much more you could have if you wouldn't settle for these shadows. How about victory? Try to have victory over the devil when he sends something your way, thoughts and temptations and these things. You try to do that on your own, friend, you're going to fail. You have to have God. You settle for so much less when you try to do it on your own. Our businesses even, our careers, we think we can somehow have a church life on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We give God one day a week and the rest of the week, it's about us. We do it all on our own. We don't give a thought to God. If we're pleasing him, if we're doing his will throughout the week, if we're sharing Christ, we're settling for shadows of what we could have. Friend, if you want to have God's best life for you, admit to God when you need help. Admit to God you need him. Make a decision that, I need God in my life. I can't do it on my own, and I'm going to stop doing it. Can I say secondly here? Sacrifices, later on in the church, we learn that some people were coming into the church and saying, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, you can have Jesus, but actually you kind of need to go back and kind of keep some of the law too and kind of do this other stuff and maybe keep the law of Moses and maybe sacrifices and these things and traditions and all these things. But we settle for shadows when we change God's plan and do our own will. Like I said, the Old Testament worship system, they had changed what God had set up. God had said, do this and this, and it pointed them to Christ and to put their trust in that future Messiah. But then they had turned it and made it about keeping these laws and about walking the right steps and not doing the wrong thing. And friend, they had settled for so much less than what God had for them. What they had would not get them to God. And man, even today, we miss what God has for us in Christ. In culture, we can see the consequences of this. Culture has said, we don't need to keep God's plan. We can change the family. We can change the marriages. We don't need to keep all that. We can change it because that's not really what God meant, right? And we can do it our own way, and we see the consequences of that. We see the divorce rates are through the roof. We see families falling apart. We see fatherless children growing up. And it's a fact that they do, percentage-wise, do much worse things with their lives because they didn't have that influence there. And why? Because we've changed God's plan and decided to do it our way. That's what culture has said we need to do. And apparently we need to go along with it. No, friend, God's plan is always the best. How about in our lives as Christians? Well, that's the Supreme Court. Oh, we, you know, we're all fine and mighty. What about church? God says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we think we've done God a wild favor if we'll step through those doors once a week. We think we're doing God a great service by being here. And man, what has God done for us? And we're settling for shadows. We're changing God's plan. What about tithing? There's people today who say tithing's not biblical. That's in the Bible. The Bible teaches it principalistically and it says that's what we're supposed to do. Friend, we think we can change God's plan and we don't need to do what the Bible says. We're settling for so much less than what God has for us. How about our business, the way we conduct our business, the way we do our lives? We don't think we need to conduct honest business, or maybe we can, you know, do this here and maybe not do our best here and change this over here and not be maybe completely honest, but it's close enough. Friend, you're settling for so much less than what God has for you. If you want to have God's best life for you, you have to do God's will, God's way. Thirdly here, the priests, the religious leaders, they had become comfortable with them. When Christ came, they didn't want to change, and they were comfortable with their rituals and systems and priests. And can I say, today we don't use priests. Christ is our mediator, as we saw earlier. There are some people that do try to confess to priests today, and frankly, that's just unbiblical. We don't use priests. Obviously, Christ is our mediator, but we settle for shadows whenever there is something between us and God. Unconfessed sin, unyielded areas in our hearts. What's your priorities in life? Is God first? Are you putting other things before God? Is there a career that's before God? Even is your family before God? You're supposed to love your family, but do you put them before God? How about yourself? Do you put yourself before God? What is your priorities in life? What if there's steps you know God wants you to take that you won't take? Decisions to make that you won't make? Friend, I want you to tell you this tonight. I'm not talking about your neighbor or your friend. I want to know what's between you and God. What do you have tonight that you're not surrendered to God? And so we've seen tonight the settling for shadows is just getting less than God's best for us. We saw several ways in which we settle for shadows. How about you tonight? Are you trusting in your own strength, trying to live life without God? Are you doing God's will, or are you deliberately choosing yours over His? Is there something between you and God? What do you need to surrender tonight to ensure that you live God's best life for you and never settle for shadows? Bow your heads and close your eyes tonight. Lord, I do pray you'd work. I do thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray you bless in this invitation time. Lord, you just speak to our hearts. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, I'd like to ask you, maybe there's someone in here tonight that has never put their faith and trust in Christ. And maybe tonight you've always thought that you could keep the law and you thought you could work your way to God and you thought maybe somehow it would just turn out all right in the end. Can I say that it's only through Christ and it's only through putting your faith in Him? Is there anyone here tonight that would say, yes, I realize that I can't do it on my own and I realize I need saved. Is there anyone here tonight that would be brave enough and feel the Lord leading them to put up their hand? We could come talk to you later, or you could come up and we could talk to you about that. Anyone in here tonight? How about you, Christian? We heard some wonderful messages tonight. Almost isn't good enough. You need to be living all in for God. How about raising Lazarus? And you need to have that belief, that faith in Christ. You need to stop settling. There's consequences for settling. What do you know God wants you to do that you're not doing? God is our refuge tonight. We need to accept him. And what are you settling for shadows in your life? Are you doing God's will? Is there things between you and God? As the piano begins to play, I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet tonight. Maybe you need to come and there's something you need to confess to the Lord or get right with him. I don't know. I don't know your heart. Maybe just there in your seat, you need to be praying and asking the Lord for his help in some areas. I don't know. What are you settling for tonight? What do you need to surrender to the Lord? I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Are you living God's best for you? Are you obeying him in every area? Are there ways you could serve him more? Are you all in for God? Is he your refuge? What's the Lord speaking to you about tonight? Maybe you need to be saved. Come talk to one of us after the service and talk to somebody about that and get that right.